Now notice verses 11 and 12, and I'll read them in my translation. And all the angels were standing around the throne and about the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. You know, this is a fabulous, fantastic scene that's before us here. This universal worship of God by His creatures, and the angels join in on it. The church is here. The Old Testament saints are here. And these are different companies. And the tribulation saints are here. And now the angels join this. Now, there are just one or two things I'd like to say about the angels, and I don't want to labor the point, and I wouldn't contend with anybody about it. But you know, nowhere in Scripture does it say that angels sing. And I like that because I can't sing either, but I'm no angel. But the point is, I think I'm going to stand with them. They're saying this here. Now, I'm not going to contend with you. If you think angels sing, you just keep right on thinking it. It's perfectly all right. But the important thing to note here, and this is important, the other company, they thank God for their redemption, the salvation of our God. But the angels don't mention it. Well, why don't they mention it? Well, they praise God for His attributes and goodness, but not for salvation. Why? They are sinless creatures, not redeemed sinners. And I don't think they're going to be able to sing. But I do believe Vernon McGee will be able to sing in that day. I can't do it now, but I sure will be able to sing with that great company. Friends, I hope that this will begin to broaden your vision and your comprehension of what heaven's going to be. A great many people think that the only folk going to be in heaven is their little group or their little denomination. Well, my friends, there are going to be other redeemed people there besides even the church. I think that's going to surprise a lot of the saints to discover that when they get to heaven. I wish we could discover it down here. It would give us, I think, a greater love for God and lead us to worship Him more in a very real way. Worship Him in spirit and truth today. Now, the church, you can see, is not here. The church was mentioned just again and again in chapters 2 and 3, and all of a sudden it disappeared. What happened to it? Well, it left the earth and went to heaven because we see it now, no longer a church, but the 24 elders in heaven. And from here on, the church is just not mentioned. It's not the subject at all. If you were overhearing a conversation that was taking place in the room next to you, and you hear somebody talking to somebody named Bill, and it was Bill this, Bill that, Bill something else. And then all of a sudden, you hear Bill say, well, hello, Bob, and apparently Bob is coming to the room. And so Bob says, hello, Bill, and then you see Bob talking to the others in the room, and Bill is not mentioned again. Now, don't you assume that maybe Bill left the room and Bob came into the room? Well, when you leave chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation and the church is not mentioned anymore, you assume it's not there. Or if it is, you certainly forgot all about it and it was very important. But somebody else is mentioned. Bob is coming to the room and Bill is left. The church is gone, and God now has returned to the nation Israel. And the Old Testament is just filled with prophecies, as we've seen and as we've gone through, that God had given them there to be a nation forever. They are to be in a land forever. And the fact that you can come to the New Testament and write them off as having disappeared and that God's through with them, you have to contradict the whole tenor and tone of the Old Testament. Well, here they are. I told you that the book of Revelation is like a great union station where trains come in, or an airport where planes come in. They come in from everywhere. And all the major themes of prophecy come into Revelation. Well, now, you would certainly expect Israel to be here in the book of Revelation. And lo and behold, here it is. And Israel's Israel. Now, if God had wanted to call Israel the church, I think he would have just said church, because he was able to say church when the time came. Now the church is not mentioned anymore, and he's talking about Israel and 144,000 sealed a witness for him. And then a great company of Gentiles now are to be saved during this period, obviously witnessed to by the 144,000. And the thing that makes it extremely interesting is that they made it through the Great Tribulation period. They were sealed, and they got through the Great Tribulation period. Now, we find them standing before the throne. I think that we've moved now to the end of the Great Tribulation, and I think most of them were martyred during that period, but they endured to the end. Why? The Lord Jesus said in the Olivet Discourse, speaking of this same period, he says, they that endure to the end, they'll be saved. Well, are they going to endure to the end because they gritted their teeth and sort of clenched their fists and pulled themselves up by their bootstraps? No, they didn't do it at all. They were sealed, you see. And here's a great company of Gentiles, and they're making it through. We also saw that in the great praise that this great company gave to God before the throne and to the Lamb on the throne, why, they were joined by a great angelic host. And they praised God not for salvation, because they are sinless creatures, they were not redeemed, but because of his wisdom, his attributes of goodness and power and all of that, and that he's worthy of praise and adoration. One of the elders wants to bring John up to date on what's taking place.